Well, our scripture today, of course, is Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 12. And I've got till when, Jay?
Cows come home.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, we could preach till Jesus comes home, brings us home. Thank you, Jay. We'll try to keep it under under the max here. We got other preachers coming. I've been blessed with the first slot this morning. I'm so excited. When I got this piece of scripture, I went, whoa, yes. I've been wanting to preach this to a crowd like you guys for a long time. Long time. And the Lord is rewarding me this morning. And praise God. We're going to talk about the reward in this piece of scripture, but we're going to talk a lot about what the reward is based on and how we can be assured of that reward. And we get rewards in this life, but they're nothing compared to the rewards coming. And this reward that I have this morning is just the tip of the iceberg this summer that the Lord is blessing me with. And I'm so excited that my life can be a testimony to what the Lord can do with just about anybody. Just about anybody. And so we're gonna get into the scriptures this morning. I'm so excited to do so. So let's read the passage this morning. 8:12 through 17. So then, brethren, we are not we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Amen. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we might be glorified with Him. Shall we pray? Lord God, thank You so much for these words that You had Your Apostle Paul write for us. These words which come right down to the wire, separate the men from the boys, or should we say, the Christians from the non-Christians. Father God, thank You so much for putting it down so that no one has an excuse that they did not know. But instead, that we can not only know what You want from us, we can know how it is accomplished. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming and showing us that it can be done, and in this case, must be done. Lord, we thank You for coming down and being a man just like us and showing us it can be done, showing us how to live by the Spirit. And then, as was brought out so wonderfully well last night, and I pray that all of us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit slept with that Spirit working on our minds, that it is the very same Spirit that indwelt You, O Lord Jesus, that indwells me and indwells the men here who have been immersed into You. The very same Spirit. Praise You, O Father, for this great plan. And may we be a part of Your plan. And may we be used of You in the days ahead, like the church, like heaven has never seen before, by Your graciousness towards us. And I pray to thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a fantastic scripture. It has a couple ifs in it that Jerry underlined last night as we were talking afterwards around the fire. It's got two ifs, and it's a big two ifs. And if you qualify, you go to heaven. The qualifications are set here with no uncertainty. Now, I'd like to back up. Brother Mark did a great job on the transformation and the mindset and how all that works and paved the way for me. We can concentrate on some other areas this morning because of that more definitely. But one thing that was not brought up last night that I need to bring up is verse 9 is Jesus drawing a line in the sand and saying, these on this side are in, and these on that side are out. Do you see it? Romans 8, 9. If anybody wants a definition of a Christian, airtight, crystal clear, this is it. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ indwelling your body, you don't belong to Christ. If you don't belong to Christ, you have no recourse. You have no part in the inheritance of eternity. It's crystal clear. No one should have any doubt when they read that. Well, the ifs that follow in my section have to do with stage two, so to speak. If you have the Spirit, then you need to walk by the Spirit. You need to power out by the Spirit. You need to utilize the Spirit. And if you do, then you will live. If you do not, you will die. And that's eternity separated from God. And everything which is life indeed. So let's look at this very important scripture. So then, brethren, notice he puts in brethren. We don't have to go to Romans 1, 1 through 7 to connect that he's talking to Christians here. If you have the Spirit inside you, this text is for you. We are under obligation, not to the flesh, which should put to rest Romans 7, you'd think. We're not under obligation to the flesh. Those guys in Romans 7, they're slaves to the flesh. That fleshly mindset that produces sin of every kind. Now, obligation here means to be held or bound to some course or duty. You are held or bound. In other words, you are a slave to sin. Romans 6:6 that was brought up last night makes it clear. See, that when we're resurrected out of the water and given the Spirit, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer under obligation to the flesh to carry out its desires. We are no longer bound to the flesh. And the reason why? Verse 13. For if you are living by the flesh, you must die. You must die. You know, that little word must is batted around quite a bit in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and qualifications for eldership. I mean, it's craziness out there, isn't it? In the so-called churches. You know, must be the husband of one wife. Well, that's only if he's married. Must have children who believe. Well, that's only if he has children. Come on, give me a break. Hello? Must be. That little must word, whenever people hit it that have a fleshly mindset, they kind of go on the dummy. You ever notice that? I wonder what that means. Well, it means that if you live according to the flesh, there is no power in heaven or on earth that can keep you alive. You're dead meat. You are done. You are toast. Today is the day of salvation, folks. And if you are living by the Spirit, you will live. But if you are living by the flesh, regardless, you will die. You see that? Must die. And he's talking to the brethren. This is not a letter to the lost. This is not a statement to the lost. In verse 12, he makes that perfectly clear. But then we have the really neat construction. But if. Now that is huge. But if. That means about face, double time, to the opposite direction. But if, by the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. When you get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you are under obligation. You are bound to an oath. You are bound to a duty to live by the Spirit. And that means to put to death the deeds of the flesh. The flesh section there, I understand, and Jerry made a good dichotomy there. I'm going to lean on his. The body and the flesh are both here. The flesh has to do with the inner man. We are strengthened with power by the Spirit in the inner man, it says in Ephesians, for the purpose of overcoming sin. First, and we'll get into stage two on that one, step two, towards the end of the message. But the first thing is to overcome sin, to eradicate it in your life. Now, you know, as man think in his heart, so is he. Correct? Proverbs and Jesus. Both make that statement. Now, the flesh is the heart condition, but the deeds of the body are the proof text and what will be judged. See, in James, when it talks about the lineage of sin, we are tempted, and then our fleshly mind either rejects it. You're a new Christian. Mark brought that out really well. See, if you're still hanging on to habits, maybe you're not such a new Christian, but maybe you're hanging on to some habits, your mind needs to reject it. The fleshly mind always accepts it. The spiritual mind needs to move towards that which is the rejection of the temptation. Be angry, but do not sin, type of things. Say. And so, in James, it talks about how once sin, the temptation is conceived, and sin comes into play, then it is birthed by our action. And so that's the proof text to God and man and everybody, what your actions, the results of that struggle between the forces of good and evil that you undergo, and how the inner man moves with the Spirit to overcome in your body, so your body does what is right. Now, the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body, there's some lists here in the New Testament. Now, this is not the law. Now, it parallels the good and just and holy law that Moses handed down. But we're not to dwell on these lists, but I want you to note that they're there, because whatever the mind dwells on, that's what it goes towards. Right? And you preachers know that more than anything, because when you are doing research, at least from my experience, when you're doing research and when you're hammering and pounding like Mel prayed that I would, you yourself become endangered. And if you don't know it, read Galatians 6:1 and have it always ready and available, lest you too be tempted. See? But I just, for time's sake, just want to go to one. There's several lists. If you're taking notes, I've got four lists here in the New Testament. Galatians 5:19-21, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, 2 Timothy 3:1-7, and Romans 1:21-32. Now the Romans one, of course, is the context. Let's go there. Romans chapter 1, Jerry did a great job in really encapsulizing this. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read it. Clear through, 21, through the end. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. There's the heart. There's the flesh, see? Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. That's humanism, self-worship, and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their heart, that's the flesh, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. And you know, in some of these cases that you can be talking about, we got death written all over it. Those bathhouses in San Francisco over the hill from Jerry, that's death written all over it. And what happens there? For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men, committing indecent acts, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Let them go to do those things which are not proper, being filled, see, to do those things, the mind first, and then the body follows, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. And that's very good, Jerry. Disobedient to parents is embedded right in the middle of this ugly slop. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, must die, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. I want to go to 1 Corinthians also. It's very short. That's the context, by the way, of under obligation to the flesh, Romans 7 and 8, 13, or 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The reason why I chose this one, because 9 and 10 gives you the list. Verse 11 gives you the resurrection picture. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? There it is, inheritors. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. We saw that in chapter 1 of Romans. Nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. There it is, verse 11. That's the list. See? Deeds of the flesh, deeds of the body that the flesh is in control of in the inner man, that is the result. Those are the sin evidences. But he says, verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Jesus and the Spirit. Now you hang on to that, because we're going to work on that a little bit here coming up. That's the way you were, but that's not the way you are. Got that picture? Otherwise you must die. Otherwise you must die. Christian. Brethren. To put to death the deeds of the body simply means to exchange ungodly habits for godly habits. And that can only take place first in the mental, the mindset. But ultimately must come out through the body's actual action. A change of habit is what we're talking about. Now, examples, and I love these examples in Ephesians 4. They're so helpful to me. Ephesians 4:28 is one of the ones that has always been near and dear to me. And I want to just use this one to show you what God is talking about in true repentance, in true putting to death the deeds of the body. Verse 28, we're talking about thieves now, which were in those lists. And other lists, even in the New Testament. 4:28, he who steals must steal no longer. But it doesn't stop there. But rather, he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. See that? The New Testament law of the Spirit is not merely to stop being a thief. To put to death the deeds of the body, you need to replace it with another habit that has a same typology, a same theme, a same grouping. So, what do? You stop stealing, and in order to really put to death that deed of the body, if you're a thief or were a thief, shall we say, you have to go to work, not work harder at stealing, by the way, but you have to go to work with honest, gainful employment, and then get it, and there's a whole process here, whole study, to the point where you have a surplus, where you can give to others. See, you've come full circle. Before you were taking, now you're giving. Let me tell you something. Everybody who makes it to heaven is going to be a giver, not a taker. Everybody in heaven is going to be benevolent and generous, not a thief. Guaranteed. Because if you're a thief, you must die. If you have not put to death the deeds of the body, and that means that the flesh has been crucified daily, your life consists of that, you must die. If you become a generous giver rather than a thief, you will live. That's the good news. You now have a way to do that. God never commands us to do anything without giving us the power to do so. And the power is found there in verse 13, by the Spirit. It's not by my own power. It's not by your own power that we're going to get this done. It's by the power of the Spirit. Now that takes a transformation of the mind. Now, Brother Mark did a great job last night, didn't he? Romans 12, get it in there, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by renewing of your mind, talking about mindset and clocks. Whoa, great. Well, I want to follow up on that. I want to go to Jesus in John chapter 6 to begin with. And this is some new material for me. This is the first time out really public outside of the congregation where I'm discipling people. So, by all means, scrutinize it. What do you think? Okay, this is a pretty well-known one. John chapter 6, verse 28-29. Okay, I think we got this one pretty well digested. He says, therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. That's great, isn't it? This is the work. Believe in me, Jesus says, because God sent me. Believe in me and you'll do the work. Your body will start going that direction because your mind will be changed. See, he's basing that on transformation. There's no question. See, this is the work you have to do, is to believe in him, see, whom God has sent. That's what he's saying. Believe in me whom God has sent. That's what Jesus said. That's the work. Now, I love it. Steve Doty, he puts things really capsulized into some really neat pieces. And he says, okay, here's the whole thing. Between the old way that the church I learned at and the new way that we're going to make it. And that is, we're no longer trying harder. But we're believing more. Ooh, I love that. Trying harder will be ugly for you and everybody around you. It will. It's pathetic. It's hurtful. You know, you can beat yourself up and get nowhere by trying harder in the spiritual realm. Okay? And of course, that's a reflection on the physical as well. But believing more is where it's at. That's where it happens, see? Now, here's the deal. When Jesus was on earth, he said, believe in him whom God has sent. See, that's the pronoun. Believe in Jesus whom God has sent. That's how those pronouns shake down there. Now, look at this one. And he says it not once, but three different times, and probably more. I'm just going to identify three different times around the Last Supper. He's trying to get this into these guys' heads. Okay? First start with John 14. 14:26. These are pretty easy, even for me. God help me, and is going to help you. 14:26, and then we're going to go to 15:26. Okay, 14:26. Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Okay, the Holy Spirit's coming. After I leave, the Holy Spirit's coming, whom the Father has sent. 15:26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And then in 16, verse 7, he says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. See, first one, Father's going to send him. Second one, I'm going to have the Father send him. And the third one, I'm going to send him. Okay? Now, if Jesus is Jehovah, there's no problem there. God sent, right? And so, if we translate into John 6 and forecast into the New Testament those pronouns, God and Jesus, they're sending Him, the Holy Spirit, to us. So, what's the work now, boys? What's the work now? Believe in the Holy Spirit, whom God has sent. The guy inside you. Believe in Him. He's the guy who wrote this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See? He wrote this, baby. Word for word. Spiritual thoughts into spiritual words. Checked out the entire mind of God. You read it for yourself. Such a beautiful passage. Checked out the mind of God. All those secret things in the mind of God. And then He wrote them down, word by word, the thoughts of God. And then it says in verse 16, to sum up the whole deal, you have the mind of Christ. You've got the Word of God in you. You've got the One who wrote the Word of God in you. Follow the Spirit. Put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. That means that face-to-face confrontation in the Word, Jesus and the Holy Spirit within you, gluing eyes, locking gazes, and starting to work on this piece of meat. See how that works? Now, Dan Tuck last night. Where's Dan? Man, you've got such great humility. That was so cool. Said, hey, that's the first time I ever seen that. That is so cool. That will upgrade your faith. And your humility will be the after thrusters. Just boom, those afterburners just going for it. That is so cool, Dan. I love it. See? Well, I had a similar experience. At one time, I didn't have a bunch of guys to go, oh, man, this is the first time, hallelujah, you know, with. I am a preacher, so I preached it, and everybody's kind of going, oh, man. My wife afterwards goes, oh, boy, I don't know if you better do that again. See, I preached the way I put it, the way it wired into my mind, which, you know, kind of gets off kilter a little bit sometimes. For other people interfacing, I'm fine with it. But I'm saying, I preached it. I told them, I said, look, the same Spirit that indwelt Jesus Christ is inside you. And He's on the other side of your optic nerve. And whatever you see, the Holy Spirit sees. Whatever you touch, the Holy Spirit touches. Yeah? See? That Holy Spirit's inside you, man. It's like, and I didn't get into possession or anything like that because that's, we've got a spirit of freedom, not slavery. We're going to talk about that if I still have enough time. But this is the most important part, I think, of the whole deal. See, is that you understand that that same Spirit is inside you that indwelt Jesus. Not a clone, not a copy. The very same One. He has looked at this same stuff. He's felt this same stuff. He's heard this same stuff many times before. And now He's in you, and He can do it, but you get in the way. Or you turn the valve on and say, go for it. Put that power on. See? Don't quench the Spirit. Put that baby on. You talk, what's it? What is it, waterboarding, where they hose you down and kind of like, you know, they blow leaves nowadays. I used to rake them when I was young. They blow leaves. They blow the fire hydrant, you know, on the people and they're bobbing down the road. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit do that with your sin? Your fleshly mind. Waterboard it. See? The Spirit can do it. You can't. Now, the big question is, will you or won't you? That's the big question if you've got the indwelling Holy Spirit. See, that's the big question. So, to believe in the Holy Spirit and that He can do it and that He's in there and you're dragging Jesus through everything you're doing, good or not. Make Jesus smile. Living a day with you should be your goal. Now, I want to close this section which I think is the most important, because this is the thing that people don't understand, is that putting, by the Spirit, putting to death the deeds of the body is salvation for us who have the indwelling of the Spirit. See? That's here. And it's by belief rather than works. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. This is why I do what I do. This verse is why I do what I do. Because it works. There's no other program on the face of the earth that works like God's program. It says, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God," which the Holy Spirit wrote, right? "which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God." Here's the important part. "Which also performs its work on you who believe." This living word, if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, will perform a work on you. But you have to believe. The more you believe, the more work He can do with you. That's how it works. So, look at verse 14 now. Romans 8:14. Man, I got so many bookmarks in here. Romans 8:14. "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." See, this is an upgrade. It's not only those who have the indwelling of the Spirit in them, but those who are actually following, being led by the Holy Spirit. These are the sons of God. These are the Christians. These are the brethren. I'll use the Bible word. These are the brethren who will make it. Let's see. If you're being led by the Spirit. Let's talk about that a little bit. This is so cool. In Romans. Because everybody's faith, faith, faith. Okay? Which really means nothing in many people's minds. Let's put the Bible phrase for Romans. Romans starts in chapter 1, verse 5 with a phrase. And then it closes 16:26, I believe, with the same phrase. It says, "Through whom we have received grace and apostleship," and here's why, "to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles." Okay, 16:26, I believe it is. Let me double check. Yep, 16:26. Thought it might have been 25. It says the same thing. Obedience of faith. Faith without obedience is death, brothers. Faith without obedience is death. Says it here, says it in James. The equation is written all over the Testament. The obedience of faith. Now, when you've got obedience and faith together, which those words have got the same root, and I hope to talk to Matt Hartford here in a few days about that. Pretty exciting the way the Greek actually runs. He knows more about that than I do. But here's the deal. In Romans 8:9, he uses the negative. See. If you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Him. The positive is in verse 14. If you're being led by the Spirit, you belong to Him. You are sons. Now that has an implication that if you are not being led by the Spirit, you don't belong to Him. And see, faith and obedience from that faith, the obedience of faith is the directive. That's how you know you're being led. if you have obedience that comes from faith. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this. If you're being led by the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body. I want to talk about a couple. And like I say, Galatians 6:1 is front and center for me. And I want to share that right off. When I was 16 years old on my birthday, yesterday was my spiritual birthday, by the way, and we had a great party coming here. My 16th birthday, we've got a snapshot. I think my wife has thrown it away. She might have kept it just for evidence. But my folks gave me the newest edition of Playboy for that month. And so here I am reading Playboy, and a big smile on my face, and I got a snapshot of it, with my birthday cake and all that. See, that's the world. I was raised in the world. See? Well, that's a deed of the flesh. See? Well, wait a minute. You're not doing nothing, just viewing that stuff. Oh, yeah. Because we're talking mind here. This is flesh. See? The deeds of the body will come later. Rape, incest, brutality to women. That'll come later. Pornography is the transformation wiring that the devil has worked out. I was helping wire a little shed for some folks in the church here last month. And they wanted me to also do their son shed. Well, their son's in the world, and he's a real case, man. His language, you really got to put on the filters on your ears before you go over there. Okay, well, if you come with me, I'll go. But, man, I this guy is dangerous stuff. And so anyway, the preacher's there wiring and working away, sweating, and, he was having fun. And he went out to the mail. This kid went out to the mail, and he got some, advertisement for pornography. And he comes over, he's got a buddy with him. Hey, let's show the preacher this, and puts it up and everything. Well, really in this world, you got to try to be cool, right? And, we've got a desperate situation here. People are going to hell, and we know the solution. And we can tell who is going to go to hell. We're to judge the world and angels and everything. We got to get primed up for it. We got to have some discernment, right? I'm not talking about you're not the judge, but you're a discerner of these things. And so you're getting groomed for it. And so, this guy comes up, oh, yeah, let's play with the preacher, And so, usually I had to be calm and not overexcited at the urgency of the hour with the guys that don't have a clue, right? Otherwise, you blow them out of the water. Well, this guy comes up to me with this, and I go, whoa, get that away from me. Out of here with it. He thought I was just kidding. I said, no, I am serious. I said, I will lose everything. I will lose my family. You'll lose your family if you still got part of it left. I said, you will lose everything. I will lose everything. Get that garbage out of here. I can't handle it. I came unglued. Because I can't. The Holy Spirit can, and He gave me the way of escape. Yeah, get out of here. The preacher's going nuts, and he's got electrical tools. He'll get you. That happened to be the way of escape. Now, I usually don't use that way of escape often. But if it's serious, use it. Yes, you got it, Tom. I'm not kidding. Ever since that instance, ever since I've worked on this message, since I got the deal, and, I was in the grocery store. I'll confess it. I was in the grocery store with my wife on our date nights. Sometimes that's what we do, or at least part of it. Oh, this is whoopee stuff, And we're over there, and magazine rack, and it was interesting because I was looking at the Montana stuff, and everything, trying to kill some time. She's deciding between, She's doing this couponing thing. It's great, though. Serious. Saving $300, $400 a month. on the grocery end, paying for all her meds and all kinds of stuff on our budget. You guys need to have some wives key in on this, man. Things are going to get interesting. But anyway, she's doing her thing, and I'm all excited and bored. And so, over there, so I'm looking at the Montana. Well, somebody, you know, back in the old days, you had to kind of sneak around and do porn and all that. And so somebody behind one of the Montana Maisies had put this, I don't know what it was. It had some kind of man's name on it. It wasn't, you know, any of the ones that I knew of, you know. Whoa! Okay, and for a second there, it had me. Oh, okay. Out of here. See, but for a second it had me because, see, my mind was working on this, and my son gave this to me about, it's called Full Tilt Media Challenge. It says, with easy access to the internet today, almost every family in America has become is becoming vulnerable. The NUA internet, whatever that is, survey reports that 75% of the hits on the web are looking for porn. That means 3/4 of all the activity on the web right now involves pornography. So I had a feeling when I was reading this that the one example that I could really pull up that might touch some hearts is, you know, pornography, you can do it in secret. The only one that'll know is God and the Holy Spirit if you have them in you. But the deeds of your body will show it. And the way you treat other people will show it. Because that stuff makes other people an object for you to use or abuse at your pleasure. That's why they call them playmates rather than wives. Wives you have to deal with. You do. You got to get right in there on the whole thing. Whoa, it gets interesting. See, playmates, you just, okay, use them and leave them, you know. See, that's sick. That's not where we're at. That's not walking by the Spirit. See, so if any of you guys are addicted to that stuff, by the Spirit, power it out! Or die! And then the other one that I want to bring up, the time is short. I'll just throw it out there and the rest of the camp we can have buzz. Divorce and remarriage, man. We have a ministry of reconciliation. Not a ministry of divorce. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Now, you are married to Jesus Christ. If you have the Spirit in you. Does Jesus believe in divorce? What was it?
No.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Because who's going to mess up in that relationship? Who's going to be the adulterer in that relationship? You talk to James in there. You adulteresses, friendship with the world. Right? Okay, well, adultery, yeah, well, I've read it. Matthew 19:9, it's okay. I can divorce my wife because she committed adultery. What if Jesus thought like that? What if the Holy Spirit inside you thought like that? Where would you be? Wife, bride, where would you be? What kind of example are you setting for the world? 50% in the church. Craziness. Ridiculous! Hopeless! You're so glad that today is the day of salvation. You're going to come down off this mountain. You're going to do it right. Or you're going to die. Now, I haven't written a paper on divorce and remarriage. I'm too young to die, physically. But it's coming. The church needs to know. Get on it. Today is the day of salvation. Past is gone. Buried. Right? Romans 8:1. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But that's only if you are putting to death the deeds of the body today. Is that right? Okay, let's get to the good part here. It's all good parts. But see, you're going to receive a reward if you do this. Verse 16, when it talks about the Spirit testifies with our spirit, doesn't say it testifies to our spirit. It testifies with our spirit. Both spirits are testimony to God. We're yours. We're going to live like you want us to live. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Listen to this quote. I love this. Temptation usually comes through a door that has been deliberately left open. Temptation usually comes through a door that has been deliberately left open. Do you flirt with previous habits of the world? Woo! Dangerous stuff, boys. Now, reward. We're heirs of God with Jesus. Now, Matt Hartford can do a lot better job with this, but through Colossians and his message over at the Oregon family camp this year, he shared, and it's so exciting, you'll have to ask him for the details, in the Greek, actually that phraseology means God is our inheritance, and we inherit that with Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to meld with the universe and lose our identity, okay? None of that garbage. But that means God is our inheritance. And that is huge. Now we got another if. Look at this now. We're going to close up with this. Romans 8, 17. And if children, heirs also, and heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if, there it is again. The final if for me today. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. What comes first? The glorification or the suffering? Suffering. What came first for Jesus? Suffering. Okay. Here we go, boys. We're not just suffering for suffering's sake. You know, there's some religious organizations that beat themselves, flog themselves, so they'll suffer enough for Christ in the body. Hogwash. Here's how we suffer. 1 Peter. A couple ways. Two ways. 1 Peter chapter 4. Everybody know this one? 1 Peter chapter 4. He who has. Yeah. Look at that. If I get there. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh, there it is, has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer, that's the mental state. See, no longer, you're still in your body, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. There it is. If we suffer for Him, right? That has to do with ceasing from sin. This is a grueling wrestling match. And the winner takes all. In that transformation, are you being conformed to the world or transformed to the image of Christ? Those are the only two options if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The world only has one option, conform to the world. Now the other one, and there's more on this, you know, Paul and buffeting his body, making it his slave and all that stuff so he's not disqualified. Well, that means buffeting, that's training. He's talking about athletes right before that. You know, grueling training. You know, I don't do that kind of stuff to my body, you know. But I ought to, I guess, you know. But the spiritual, see, the bodily discipline is of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things. That's where the discipline, the training, the buffeting of your body really counts. See? Buffeting, man, if my eyes are connected wrong, Jesus says, well, maybe in the next time you go into that store, maybe you should just tear your eyes out. Better go into heaven that way than to be cast into hell with your sight. See? Well, I think we can do an operation with the Holy Spirit on the back side there on the optic nerve, okay? We'll just do a little disconnect. I'm out of here. Let's see. Okay, last one. This is another way to suffer to ensure your glorification. Now, there are suffering that you don't ensure your glorification, but these two will certainly cinch it up. Colossians 1:24. Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body." Now, see that, in my bodily flesh, see, not my inner man that's fleshly. "In my flesh I do my share on behalf of the body of Christ, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions." See, he is suffering for the church to get the gospel to them, to get them built up in the faith. So, brethren, two stages. Number one, get the sin out by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't try it by your own power. You'll just be beating yourself up to no avail. By the power of the Holy Spirit, get the sin out. Number two, once you got the sin out, you can be a useful vessel for honorable use. Serve the brethren. Serve the body. Serve the church. And you can only do that as someone who is not addicted to sin habits, really, effectively. Otherwise, the disciples you make will be twice sons of hell than yourself. Right? That's how it works. So, you want to live? Put to death the deeds of your body through the transformation of your fleshly mind to the mind of Christ, and then serve.